everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Tubby Talk. I am Terry from Terry Leahy Films, and with me, as always, are...
I'm Chris.
I'm Steve.
And they are from the Tubby Robot Ice Cream Factory, which is where we film the show and where you should come to eat all this delicious ice cream in front of us. But in addition to ice cream, these guys have another passion, and it is gaming.
Oh,
and
yes.
That's why we have this show, to talk about your gaming desires and mine, and bring me back into the wonderful fold of video games, which I left and was brought back to.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Today we're going to talk about Disney-based video games.
Oh,
this
man.
Is, you know, one of the big, big companies that has produced some good stuff and some bad things as well. So we're going to talk about it, but I think the best place to start is all the way back at the beginning for one of the very first Disney games. Do you guys remember what it was?
We're going to the NES.
We're going to the NES.
Are we going DuckTales?
We're going pre-DuckTales.
Yeah, Chippendale Rescue Rangers?
We're going pre that.
Oh, man. What's before that?
That is when the Mickey Mouse games first?
Yeah.
Oh,
Mickey Mouse
God,
Capades.
Yes. Mickey Mouse Capades.
Is that like the side-scroller style? When
where
we
you're
like huge
attached to Minnie
yeah,
Mouse?
Yeah, yeah, I remember that. I played that game.
It's terrible.
That was the appropriate response. That was the appropriate response. A memory, and then, oh.
I think many people rented that game.
Yeah, you could throw stars.
Yeah, that's the main gameplay feature I remember. Stupid stars. The stars move like an inch.
Yeah.
Out of his hand.
It was one of those awkward games on the NES that was still like half, had 1 foot in the arcade era and 1 foot in the console area era. So it was like single screen, but you could move from screen to screen, and the controls were horrible, and you died a lot.
Yeah. Oh, a lot. I don't think anyone ever got to the third level. I don't know if it exists. I think the programmers were just like, let's just make it really difficult so no one ever gets past.
Wow.
Side note, has that ever happened?
They have what?
Has a game ever been made challenging?
I'm thinking there's
that they
definitely
finish it?
Games where the ending was very lacking because they kind of ran out of steam.
I think there's one game that was unbeatable, but no major releases.
Okay.
Like major releases are almost always completable. And so you can beat Mickey Mouse Capades. It is possible.
I mean,
I've seen it happen.
I mean,
what?
Yeah.
In person?
Well. Speedrunners do it on Games Done Quick. I've seen it live happen there.
God.
Yeah.
Now, there is a game came out a couple years ago. This is a little sidebar. Sonic Lost World.
Yeah.
Where it looks like they spent all of the budget, time, and money budget on the first stage, which people loved and reviewers loved when they played the like preview version.
It was a neat level.
And then every other stage, they said, was the worst stage in the Sonic game. Sequentially,
so
as you went on.
Is that the dinosaur?
I don't know if there was a dinosaur.
Dinosaur
it was like
one?
It was basically like Mario Galaxy but Sonic.
Yeah, Mario Galaxy but Sonic. It was on the Wii or Wii U.
Wii U.
Pre or post Black Knight.
Post.
It's post
Black
Last Knight.
Knight.
So it's supposed to be their return to competence.
Like
only for the first stage. And most reviewers didn't finish the game. From the reviews I read, like three different ones didn't finish it because it was so garbage.
So I'm guessing you did not like Mickey Mouse Capades very much.
No, I didn't, but it has a fond place in my heart because it was one of those games that, you know, you just had. It was just there, and you put it on every once in a while.
It's the only NES game at Blockbuster, so you had to play it.
There you go, you had to play it.
The characters looked like Mickey and Minnie Mouse. Like, there was a resemblance. Like, there were a lot of games back then that didn't have at least that much. So
true.
At least the licensing was intact. I think, you know.
Who created that game, though? Does anyone know?
Oh, I don't know off the top of my head.
I keep wanting to say it's
not Capcom.
That's what I needed.
Are you thinking LJN is what my brain keeps telling me?
Might have been LJN, but I was trying to lead you guys is suddenly Capcom got the Disney license and everything changed.
Yes.
Like, they made some of the most iconic just Nintendo games ever featuring these characters, and as you mentioned before, the first one is obviously DuckTales.
Yeah, DuckTales is great. DuckTales is one that people love to this day. 30 years later, they remade it somewhat recently, a couple years ago. DuckTales Remastered.
And we replayed it because it was amazing. It's still amazing.
It's great. Even for back then, the graphics were great. It looked like Scrooge McDuck. The music was wonderful. It was just a great game.
I remember you had multiple moves, which was kind of rare back then, that you could do more than one action.
Yeah, you had a pogo bounce. You use to reach a lot of hidden treasures and hidden parts of the stage. You had a golf swing, which you can use to defeat enemies if you can smack something into them. And I think there was another move, maybe I'm forgetting, or is that it?
It was mostly like pogoing. You pogo through that whole game.
Yeah,
there's still a lot for an NES game, though. Two different moves.
Seriously, though, I mean, remember back then, there weren't many games.
In contrast to like Chippendale's Rescue Rangers, which was also Capcom, also Disney, where I think you just picked up acorns and threw them.
Yeah, that's right.
Picking
up stuff and throwing stuff, which was a great game as well. That kind of leads into like that Disney Capcom alliance was really strong with the Disney Afternoon games, which was all of the games based on the Saturday morning cartoon properties of Disney.
Okay.
Yeah. So they had Rescue
Rangers. What
else was
there?
They had Darkwing Duck.
I believe there was Tailspin,
which was great. There was Tailspin.
There was an Aladdin game for the 16-bit consoles.
That's a movie.
I mean, they also had an Aladdin cartoon came on Disney Afternoon.
Yeah, but it was based on the movie.
Yeah.
And that was 16-bit, like.
It is weird that they were making good games for their, let's say, secondary properties, you know? Like, we weren't getting, like, I do remember a Little Mermaid game that was not very good.
It was better than you might think.
It was better than
I remember,
you might think.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I think that was Capcom as well.
I think it was.
Yeah, did Capcom do, like, The Lion King and... Did they do Aladdin? I'm not even sure.
No, it wasn't Capcom at that point. Okay. In the 16-bit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so
we're moving on to there.
So we're just taking on 8-bit for now. I thought Capcom also did those. Because I was thinking of another 16-bit game I'll get to in a second. But that's also not Capcom, so...
But the fact is, Nintendo and Capcom did form this alliance and started making good games. Like, finally it was... You know, if you had kids or something like that, you could actually kind of trust... the Disney games, which was nice because you could not do that with all your favorite characters. For example, the Domino's game was probably not that great.
Well, and it's surprising too because
it was fine. Because
you didn't really need a good game to sell those. Like they had the parents would buy. Oh, there's a Chip and Dale thing. There's a Mickey Mouse game. It doesn't matter. I'll buy it. The kids will like it. Mm-hmm. Like the good game was almost incidental, but Capcom felt like they had to make a good game, which was great. Like, it almost felt like a bonus on a bonus. Mm-hmm. Like, not only is this based on something I love, but the game is good. That never happens back then.
And there was, you know, there is a little bit of, what's the word, where you admire something in the past?
Nostalgia?
Yeah. Definitely our generation has a little bit of nostalgia for this, because it hit us right when it was supposed to hit us. You know, maybe within 4 or 5 years.
Oh, no, totally. I was watching... DuckTales and then playing DuckTales. After
right.
DuckTales and Darkwing Duck went off because I couldn't miss any of the Disney Afternoon.
Yeah.
But 5 o'clock was fair game.
Yeah,
forget
right.
the news. I'm playing an NES.
Yeah, and so did you ever play that Darkwing Duck game?
I believe I did, and I believe it was hard.
It was on the harder side. It felt like a Mega Man game, which is one of the things I loved about it.
Never played it.
It's good. So, yeah, Darkwing Duck, I mean, basically he ran and jumped, he was like Mega Man, but he could switch weapons, and he had his smoke gun, and the smoke gun could change, like, some of the smoke, it had different sorts of bullets, but he would jump and grab hooks and climb, it was good.
Distinctly remember the hook.
Yeah, there was a lot of hook jumping in the game.
Now, was Launchpad in the game?
Launchpad, I believe, was in the game, but not as a playable character.
Was he also in DuckTales?
He was definitely in DuckTales.
This is the most confusing character. Why did he live in two worlds?
He was Scrooge McDuck's personal pilot, but in his free time, he hung out with Drake Mallard, aka Darkwing Duck.
Yeah, and
that was his buddy.
Totally different cities.
He might have even been his personal pilot. He might be both their personal pilots, as far as I know. But
do you think there's two Launchpads?
No, it's the same Launchpad.
I just remember seeing his catchphrase once, if it's a plane, I can crash it.
Yeah.
I was like, Scrooge, you have all the money in the world. You can afford a better pilot.
He was a lovable mug. Couldn't get rid of him.
It's true. He's a pelican, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, he's a very muscular pelican.
I'm so glad we went this way. That seems like a perfect segue, because not only was the pelican muscular, but soon the video games would be more muscular as well, because they'd get 8 more bits, and we would go to the 16-bit era.
Nice.
Yes.
Recovered.
Yes. Yeah. And
some good games and some not so good games.
Yeah, and there was a split there because we had two dominant platforms, kind of for the first time ever, in at least the American home console, because we had the Super Nintendo and the Genesis,
mm-hmm.
and we got two different versions of a variety
of
games.
Yeah.
Like, such as Aladdin was the famous one.
Aladdin.
Yeah, that's the big one.
Where it was much more, it was harder to play on the Genesis, because it was a harder difficulty game, I should say, on the Genesis. I've never played the SNES version. I don't know if you guys have.
Oh, yeah, I have. I have many fun memories of that game.
Because the gameplay in the Genesis version, you have like apples all over, or pomegranates, I guess, all over the place. You would pick them up as you're going for platforming element, but you also had a scimitar you used to attack enemies, and it would like puff in the smoke when you killed them.
Yeah, it was kind of a more violent game because he attacked people with swords.
Yeah, I think
like,
the SNES was just platforming collecting.
Yeah, you would bounce off people's heads.
There was no sword.
You would throw apples, A button through apples, you would bounce off their heads, and you would swing, but that was... his actions. It was Also beautifully animated. It was kind of
more acrobatic and less kind of berserker.
The Genesis game was actually, like, I remember, animated by Disney animators, mm-hmm. I believe. Yeah. And they scanned the drawings. So it had more of a black outline kind of cartoony thing going on. Where the Super Nintendo game, it was more pixel art. Things were rendered. There weren't big black outlines. So it was two very different styles for the same movie.
Yeah.
Both were good games, though, in their own right.
I distinctly remember the Genesis one, though, being harder.
Yeah.
Like, it was harder to figure out. Now, that could also be that, you know, the Aladdin for SNES is one of those games you could sit down, hour and a half, have a great hour and a half, and you beat the whole game.
Yep.
And felt good about it. Yep. Like, you know, the bosses were somewhat challenging at first, and then they weren't as soon as you figured out the patterns. There were Magic Carpet ride areas.
That was one of the toughest ones.
Real hard.
Yeah.
Like, one of those, you're kind of going up and down, and there's, like, caves up. I'm sure they'll animate this in. But there's one that's, like, real thin, and you got to get it at the end. Boy, was I a frustrated 8-year-old.
I think that style of stage was also in the Genesis version. But it was harder to get to because it's harder to get through the stages to get to the first.
Did the Genesis one also do it straight on? So you move left and right and you were like from behind Aladdin's head? Or am I
No, I'm thinking the Genesis one was side.
The Super Nintendo one was side scrolling as well.
Definitely side scrolling.
So maybe the Genesis was first person, or third person, but over the shoulder. I don't think so though. I'm thinking it would. Unless
Alt
I'm thinking.
Mode 7?
Yeah, but say, unless I'm thinking of the SNES version in my head.
You might
be. Didn't play, but I read a lot of in Electronic Gaming Monthly.
What I did love about that Aladdin game, though, is they threw in a little bit of Disney. You know, I'm definitely a Disney person. I love magic and good stories and things like that. And they threw it in because there's this bonus stage where you're just flying around with Jasmine and they're playing a whole new world. And you're going through clouds and just collecting rubies or something. It's fun. It's a nice little break in there before you go and do the end of the game.
And then compared to that, there's the Lion King game.
Right.
Which Chris can probably tell us a little bit more about.
Yeah, I played a lot of that one.
It sounds like the game was very broken from what I understand.
It wasn't broken, but it wasn't as polished. Like, the animation and the presentation were really good in that game, but it wasn't Capcom, first and foremost.
It wasn't?
No, I believe that one was Interplay. Correct me if I'm wrong, but yeah, it was not Capcom.
Can we do this live? I always thought it was
Capcom. Yeah, look it up.
Capcom, I'd like to do this live.
The Lion King game, I believe, is not Capcom.
But wasn't there, like, an issue with, like, collision detection? So I remember watching a Let's Play on a competing YouTube channel, and basically, it was impossible to aim your jumps, but it was a very precision platformer, but because of the depth of the animation, you had to line up the animation, like the jump animation, like the pause had to land on pixel, like precision.
Yeah, I mean, there were definitely precision things, but it wasn't broken, I would say. Like, it was perhaps unforgiving, but I mean, I got through the game.
It did have one of those things that actually frustrates me a little bit, which is a button that does nothing. You had a roar button, and it did nothing.
No, the roar did
when
something.
When you were a cub.
It did.
Yeah, because you were a cub.
No, when what? You're a cub, it stuns the bugs. It flips them over.
Oh, just the bugs, yeah.
What?
Yeah, you can stun the bugs with the roar.
I know it does something when you're adult Simba. I didn't realize that.
Well, the problem with that game, though, is like halfway through, you transfer from young Simba to adult Simba, and adult Simba sucks. Like, he's just a dog. The whole way, he's moves slower, he can't jump as high, and like, he's supposed to be more powerful.
You're right.
But like, you feel so fragile because you can't get out of the way like young Simba could.
It's a Virgin Interactive.
Virgin Interactive.
Yep.
I will distinctly remember a harrowing moment in that game, and that is when you're doing the I just can't wait to be king level with monkeys throwing you around.
Yeah.
I mean, the frustration that was going through my mind at this level was insane.
Yeah, that's one where you had to roar at the pink monkeys to have them change direction.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Everything I know is wrong.
Is that the one where you have to, like, hit jump as soon as the monkey grabs you?
No. It's automatic. Oh. The problem is you have to memorize these patterns. So all these monkeys would be hanging out in a tree in the savannah for some reason, and they would throw you a certain direction. And the pink ones you could roar at to change the direction.
Yeah.
So you would have to basically turn these switches the right way so that they would navigate you through this maze. And the maze did not fit on your screen. Like, you would maybe see three monkeys on your screen.
Right.
But there were 20 monkeys in the throwing part.
And you just had to, like, pretty much write down, like, what to do.
It didn't matter.
It was one of those games. And there were a couple monkeys, they'll just throw you to your death.
Yep, like, yeah.
They were just death monkeys.
They throw you to death, yeah. And in between those, there were sections where you were riding on a giraffe, Ostrich. You're riding under ostrich, and you have to jump over hippos and duck under other things.
Oh, that's terrible. Oh,
and sometimes you have to double jump.
Yep.
And a lot of people didn't make it through that level.
No.
Yeah, a lot of people.
Took me a long time to get through it. Ending of that game is pretty cool, though. You just have a basic, like, swipe fight with Scar, but you cannot beat the game unless you line up next to the cliff, just like in the movie, and backflip him over. And it's just hitting the button at the right time, and then it switches to a cutscene where you just throw him over.
I remember very specifically, though, being blown away by the graphics in the wildebeest stage, which is right after the elephant graveyard, and it's Simba's running towards the screen, and the wildebeests are coming. It looks very cinematic. Like, they took the frames from the movie of the wildebeest, like, jumping at you, and it was just a standard, like, move left to right, dodge the rock sort of situation, but...
Battletoads-esque.
Battletoads-esque, yes.
Except this way. Oh, that's the game that was straight on. Because you're looking at him running at you, and you gotta, like, veer.
Yeah, and they jump off, and their hooves get bigger and bigger, and, you know, it's cool. Yeah.
It was cool, but it was a cool scene, too. I mean, there was the whole Mufasa thing right before that, so you're, like, watching it through tears, but still.
And then Virgin made a number of games on the Super Nintendo with the Disney properties.
Hit me, because I'm not familiar.
They made The Jungle Book. Did you ever play that one?
I remember that game. I haven't played it.
Jungle Book, they ported to the NES, the SNES, the Game Boy. They took that same base game. It was a very similar sort of like, oh, it's pretty, it's very well animated, but the collision detection's a little off.
Okay.
You know, kind of kicks your butt a little bit. And then there was, they made a game based on Pinocchio.
I remember seeing the cartridge and thinking, there's no way that could be good, and just never playing it.
Yeah, I've never even seen that game.
It's not great. No, it's not
good. Is the whale in it?
You know, I never got it that far. I'm sure the whale. If you have a Pinocchio game and there's no Monstro, you have not made a Pinocchio game. Because Monstro is the coolest part of Pinocchio.
So it's the Game Boy Pinocchio. Or is it also an SNES?
Because there's a Game Boy one. Yeah, okay. There's an SNES one that has, you know, it's very beautiful to look at and the animation's great, but the level design and the gameplay are not good.
Is Virgin still with us?
I mean, the company's still with us, but Interactive Games, I don't think so.
I don't think Virgin Interactive still makes games.
Boy, I can remember the logo now in the beginning of the... Because the music's coming on.
Yeah. The music's great.
Oh, yeah, the music rights to all the Disney stuff, I'll bet. I bet they had the catalog.
They were sold to Electronic Arts back in the day.
Oh, so they were subsumed by Electronic Arts and destroyed like everything else that gets eaten by Electronic Arts. Yep.
But I do think Super Nintendo was the heyday of good Disney games. Good Disney games for a time, with the exception of
Mickey Mouse and the Castle of Illusion.
What? People love
that game.
That was the Genesis version was far superior.
Because it had Donald Duck in it too.
It had Donald Duck in it. It also had a nice Mode 7-esque mode where you walked up a tower that rotated.
Mm-hmm.
Like as you walked up the tower, like Mickey stayed in the center of the screen, the tower rotated with you. Like as you walked up the spiral staircase, and that was like Sega, because Sega developed that game in house. Like their version. So they were like, we don't have Mode 7 chips in our systems. We'll just do this the old-fashioned way. Use all of our resources and the game's very short because you spend it all for this animation. But it was a wonderful game to play, especially after that Mickey Mouse Superstar fiasco.
There was another Mickey Mouse game, I think.
There were two, actually.
Castle of Illusion was the other one? What was the other one called?
No, that was his.
Yeah, let me see.
It was where you went to the circus.
Yes.
Like Mickey's Great Illusion or something like that. But it was the game that I guess was competing with that one.
Right.
But in this, oh my god, it was such a fun game because you could put on different outfits and you had different powers.
I think that one was Capcom.
I think you're right too. And there was a sequel where Minnie Mouse was involved too, and it was a two-player version of the exact same kind of game. Super fun, lots of cool stuff. Like they were doing interesting things in the platformer. Like it goes back to DuckTales, having more than just the option of going to the right and jumping.
Yes.
You know, just having an extra thing was cool. Like, I think he threw a hook shot in the snow level. The bosses looked great. And they were all, like, modeled after Pete, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, I cannot remember what that game is called, but he wore a turban. And he shot fireballs out of his finger. And there was another one, which I'm just realizing, Mickey Mania.
Yeah, Mickey Mania was really cool.
Yeah.
It wasn't an awesome game, but, like...
It was awesome.
It was a fun experience. It was a fun audio-visual feast.
Yes.
It's one where it's basically a game going through Mickey's history. You start as Steamboat Willie, and it's all black and white, and it looks awesome. Like, especially for a 16-bit era, like, oh my god, you're going through the boat, and you're jumping. It's one of those nonsense platformers, though, where just, like, everything kills you. and, like, the hit detection kind of
off. There's a moose at one point that is just a real pain.
Yeah. But it does go, like, it reminds you of all those old nostalgic cartoons that are really where Mickey got famous, and they're cool. They're very imaginative.
Maybe that's why I liked it so much as a kid, because it started at the beginning, and it took you through the career of Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
And I just remember loving playing that game.
I remember getting to the Fantasia
body changed, like, everything.
Yeah, the animation
changed.
Style and everything.
But I remember getting to the Fantasia stage and not hating it for some reason. I don't remember exactly what happened, but it was some nonsense.
Killed by a hippo or a crocodile or something like that.
Something like that. That was the end of my rental at Blockbuster, and I was just like, all right, I can't go anymore. It's time to bring it home. There've been a lot of Mickey Mouse games now that we're talking about it, and it's not really, you don't really think of Mickey Mouse as a big video game character, but he's probably been at least 10 plus games.
He is now. But in my opinion, he went into a bit of a drought. I think the N64 PlayStation era, I can't even think of a Disney game, actually.
There must have been a bunch in the PlayStation. The PlayStation 2. I mean, then you get into things.
Well, you jumped to PlayStation 2, and I got a whole PlayStation can of worms.
I saw, and I don't remember this coming out, because I didn't know a lot about PlayStation games at the time, but there was a Hercules game that was also made by Virgin Interactive.
It was on PC, too.
Yeah, for PC and PS1.
I remember I got to play it one time. I went on the Disney cruise with my family, and there was a computer on that ship that had it, and I played it, and I beat it. That's what I would do.
You
at
beat
night.
It on the cruise ship?
Yeah. Great game.
You went on a cruise and played a video computer game every night. That's awesome. That says something about Terry right there.
You know what was cool about it, though? It was before N64 hit, so they were still making just side-scrollers with more advanced things. That's, you know, PlayStation did that with Mega Man 8.
Yeah.
And then it was the same kind of concept of, let's just make a cooler looking
Mega Man X, 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah. So a lot of fun. You're right. Oh, man. So there was one. Yep. But I don't remember. There wasn't a Mickey 64, was there?
No. I keep thinking there was, but it might be just me conflating two other things in my head.
There certainly was. I don't think there was a 3D one, for sure.
If you want to mock up a Mickey 64, which is just, is it Donkey Kong 64 or just with Mickey? No, Gex 64. And just put Mickey superimposed over Gex.
I would prefer to see him with a coconut gun. Like,
peanuts, pineapples, coconut shells. jumping into the PS2 era.
Happy to.
I am sure you've got one first and foremost.
No, you go first, please.
I mean, the first thing that jumps to mind on this thread is Kingdom Hearts.
That is a life-changing game for me. I love Kingdom Hearts, and I will tell you how much I love it. First of all, I hadn't had Square in my life in a long time when that came along. And it came out, and I've never done this before. I bought Kingdom Hearts and its follow-up sequel, Kingdom Hearts 2, and I did not own a PS2.
Wow.
Nice.
I needed to have it. I would borrow PS2s for a week and blast.
You would borrow the system?
Yes.
Just going around
for these games.
Now I'm just imagining Terry just going around scrounging up PS2s.
Oh my God, yeah. I was in college at the time, so it was kind of easy to find one.
Oh, yeah.
But any time I even had access to one, I knew whatever, everything this week is done, I'm playing one of these games. So much fun. The voice acting was tight. I mean, the main kid, they were blending, you know, classic RPG characters with Disney characters. And, you know, one thing happened that I'll never forget for the rest of my life, which I'll get to in a minute. But it was freaking Haley Joel Osment as the voice of the main one. Hayden Panettiere, who's... people know now, but she was
in between.
She's on Nashville. Remember the Titans and Heroes. She was between that. This is what she did. And the kid from Seventh Heaven as Riku. Like, this meant a lot. I knew all this. Where I had never heard, like, voice acting. The animation looked great.
Wait, and so were the Disney characters voiced by the animation voices?
The original voices were doing it. So it was such a tight game. Like, I had never seen a hybrid like this before. Because essentially it's not just a movie adaptation of a game. It's a universe adaptation.
Everything distilled into...
It was such a strange combination, too, because Final Fantasy is weird, and Disney stuff is weird, and they're weird in different ways. Ugh. And they're just like, let's mash it together and see what happens.
It was a JRPG.
Yeah. Well, you know? But it was an action RPG, right? Like, it wasn't turn-based, right?
No, it wasn't. But it felt very Japanese.
Yeah.
It felt very Final Fantasy, which I think is great, you know? That's more my style, but then they had this whole new mechanic. wasn't quite Zelda and it wasn't quite Mario RPG. It was something in the middle where you could like add things and get cool power-ups and do things that I had never seen a 3D platformer do. Oh, I just had never seen it. You know, just being able to jump and fly after you meet Peter Pan and get that power up. It just was so cool. And the sequel, you kept a bunch of those moves.
Oh, nice. So you didn't just forget how to do everything at the beginning of the game. So,
and just, like, the story, nobody knows what the story is.
I read a book about the story, trying to explain it, and I got totally lost halfway through. It's nonsense. The Heartless and... Oh my god.
The nobodies.
The nobodies and the heartless, and if your heart gets removed, you become a nobody. Oh god.
And every nobody has a heartless, and like, there's this other Sora called Roxas, and they're the same person.
And I was reading.
They all live in his heart.
Yeah, the second one starts with none of the main characters. You start with one of the sub characters, like in their weird sub world for hours. Hours and hours you have to spend with people you don't know.
It's not short.
I will admit, I've never played a Kingdom Hearts game.
I haven't either.
Oh, you guys.
I'm waiting for Kingdom Hearts 3 to come out so I can rectify that.
Well,
I'm gonna jump
in
both
HD remakes have come out, and I hear they're phenomenal.
Yeah, but I want to jump in feet first, not knowing anything about the earlier
right in
games.
The three.
I mean, it doesn't sound like I'm going to be missing anything of the story.
Well, it sounds
I won't
like
understand
will.
What's going on.
I mean, it's a good story.
It sounds like I'll be missing plot, but not story. So I might as well just jump in and see
what
happens.
I would disagree. I'd say you'd be missing. Damn it. It meant so much to me as a kid. It was just so cool.
To you, they pulled it off.
Yes. But there's one specific moment that really was the most Disney thing I've ever seen. Every once in a while, Disney will hit you with a surprise that'll just, like, you know, blow your head off, you know? Sonic the Hedgehog appearing in Wreck-It Ralph. Something weird like that. Cloud Strife shows up in the Hercules arena. Nice. And he walks in like a boss, and you're just like they reveal it so well. Like you see his boots first, I think, and then you see something else, and I just might be like, is that Cloud? No one's in the room with me. It's like that's Cloud, and then when I see him like waking up an entire dorm floor, oh, it's Cloud! Oh my god, it's Cloud! Like it was such a big deal.
Nice.
And Leon is in the beginning of the game. Leon's your helper from his name's Squall in Final Fantasy VIII. But just as soon as you start seeing people, and then Tifa shows up, and then later on in the game, it's like there's a surprise challenge back where you fought Cloud, and guess who it is?
Sephiroth.
It's freaking Sephiroth. Nice. And he's got a giant sword, and you're fighting him in a different way than you last experienced him. You last experienced him in a turn-based system with that stupid little bar that was never fast enough.
Do they play One Winged Angel in the background?
Yeah.
Well, you have to.
Does Tifa die before it?
Tifa doesn't die. Aerith dies.
No. Oh, yeah. I just got the wrong character.
Yeah.
Or, okay, I thought you meant Kingdom Hearts, they switched it.
Yeah, No.
Does Aerith die again? Or is she not in the game?
She is in the game. I can't remember. I don't think they show her die. But Sephiroth shows up with a giant sword.
Sephiroth!
Yeah, and you have to, like, block the sword, and, you know, it's a really cool thing. I think you get his sword when you're done. You get keyblades in the game instead of swords, and one of them is... I think a Final Fantasy VII-esque.
Oh, nice.
So as a Final Fantasy fan, old school Final Fantasy, are there Moogles in it?
Yes.
There are Moogles. Are there...
Sids?
Someone named Sid in the game.
Sid is in the game. Sid gives you your ship.
That makes sense. Yep.
Which is made out of gummy bears.
Okay, I might have to go back and play these games now.
You have to. I can't explain it because, one... You're reliving, like, old movies and stuff. Two, it is an engaging story. It really is. And three, the freaking Final Fantasy people are there to help you through the game. It's insane. And somehow it all works. And Mickey's a king.
Yeah, King Mickey.
And wears a hood. And he's like a ninja.
It's sort of amazing that Disney ever agreed to this.
Oh, Goofy and Donald, yeah.
Goofy and Donald are
Goofy's your party member, right?
Yeah. They're like
but you can switch them out for other people along the way. Like, you go to Halloween Town. That was really cool that they included that.
Oh, my God. They got
Jack Skellington's your partner.
Nice.
And you all get different costumes based on where you are.
They dug deep in this game.
Oh, I think that's what it is. And I think that's what a lot of Japanese-based games do, is they do kind of dig deep in their own mythology and whatnot. And for whatever reason, we'll never know, they had access to this treasure trove of other content.
Yeah, how did this happen? Like, Disney's very selective with their properties. Like, they don't give the rights to just anyone. And, like, for Square, they've never worked with Square, as far as I know. Like, and it's not like they had a lot in common. I mean, other than like, oh, we have a huge audience that loves us. So do we. All right, let's get these two huge audiences together.
I mean, you don't know. Square Enix is the Disney of Japan.
No, they don't make movies. Well, they do make movies.
Final Fantasy Spirit Within?
Yeah, Spirits Within and...
Like you said, they don't make movies.
Yo!
Advent Children was fun, at least.
Wasn't that just Final Fantasy VII?
Yes.
Yeah, but there was a jumping scene.
Final Fantasy Advent Children. Oh my god, it was awesome. I mean, it was so stupid.
Zero gravity. The idea was, I'll jump and throw Cloud up. Another one of us will be higher who will grab him midair and throw him up again. With some force that isn't scientifically
Square
possible.
Square has never been great at sensical stories, and they got more crazy as time went on.
But we love them.
Yeah, I love Square games.
It is an amazing game, and I'm dying that it has been more than 10 years since I saw a secret ending at the end of Kingdom Hearts 2 and have no idea what's happening.
Have you played all the, like, Kingdom Hearts 2.6, 3.5... Nine.
I tried one of them, and maybe it's just like, it's kind of like saga films, or like when you're reading comic books, like there's all these other ones along the way that do fill in the story, but I'm like a core reader. I always prefer something like that. Yeah. But I have hogged this so long, so Disney games for you guys. I can think of a couple others that showed up in more recent years that were enjoyable.
Yeah, though the one that comes to mind that is also kind of an oddball was Epic Mickey.
Right.
Came out on the Wii, and they made a sequel, Epic Mickey 2.
It came out on everything, I think.
Yeah,
360
it started coming out on everything.
Three.
But it didn't do very well commercially. It was made spearheaded by Warren Spector of Deus Ex fame. But he had always loved Mickey and Disney, and he always wanted to do some weird, subversive Disney game. And he eventually got the rights to it, and it used... The Wii remote was the mechanic for a magic paintbrush, which you would use to, you know, colorize evil things.
So it was Super Mario Sunshine.
Sort of like Super Mario Sunshine, but with a more expensive property attached. It was a pretty cool game. It was neat. It was very imaginative. The problem with that game, though, is that it didn't live up to kind of the renders they made before, because the concept sketches they had for the game are awesome, off-the-wall, dark nonsense. Yeah, if you ever look them up, like the sketches for Epic Mickey, because it's stuff like melted together, goofy robots, like mangled, just like nice. This really, like, you know the scenes in Sid's room in Toy Story?
Yeah.
It's that with Disney characters, basically. And like this ruined world with these tortured characters that vaguely resemble Disney property.
And
like,
you're supposed to like paint it back to life or something?
Yeah. Oh, it looks really neat.
Oh, that's right! Yep. Everything showed up warped at first and you had to cleanse it.
Yep.
And make it look better.
Yeah, the story of the first game is that Mickey goes into the looking glass, into the mirror, which is a direct callback to an old Mickey cartoon. Mm-hmm. And in the looking glass, everything's messed up and he's got to work to fix it with the magic paintbrush.
And I believe that was also a celebration of Disney getting back the original Walt Disney creation, Oswald. Mm.
That was two.
That was two. Was about.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was in the first one.
I might have gotten mixed up. I know Epic Mickey 2 is called The Power of Two, and the whole thing was that Oswald the Lucky Rabbit and Mickey Mouse fought together.
Cool.
And it was this reintroduction of Oswald the Lucky Rabbit, which most people have no idea who that is.
But for nerds,
he's the predecessor to Mickey Mouse. He's kind of like, Mickey Mouse was made because they lost the rights to Oswald the Lucky Rabbit.
Right.
Like, Oswald the Lucky Rabbit was supposed to be the gravy train. But he had
and
to be
you
a mouse.
You're hitting on something that we also talked about earlier in Mickey Mania. One of the cool things about the Disney games is they reach all the way back, you know? When did it start? The 30s?
Yes.
Like, yeah, 20s or 30s.
And they're embracing that. There's a level in Kingdom Hearts where everybody reverts to their classic mode. So like Donald Duck and Goofy totally switch character designs and go to their original weird designs.
That sounds really cool.
You have to play
this game.
They all
have the shorts with the buttons on the front for suspenders you're not wearing and stuff
and
like that.
And Donald Duck's got a really long bill.
And they can't speak anymore, really.
What's going on?
They start like, and you like.
Nice.
They even call it a primitive place when they show up there. It's really neat.
So does Sora become 16-bit? That would be cool.
Yeah. he gets
sexualized.
Big button eyes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
nice.
Your costume changes every single level you're in. In the second one, they get pirate outfits because Captain Jack Sparrow is in it. and joins your party. And it's pretty cool. It's a really fun level. It's just, I think, I'm praying the reason that the next one is taking so long is because Iron Man's got to be in it.
Because they're pulling Marvel things.
Yeah, well, because they, you know, they certainly pulled Touchstone, in which they owned. But I think they were just looking at their audience.
Well,
and
they now
the acquisition
20,
happened.
20th Century Fox.
I know.
So Mega Man might show up in it. As DLC, I'm thinking.
Wait, Mega Man? Why is he in
Fox had the rights for the movie rights for Mega Man. So now Disney has the movie rights for Mega Man. Sorry, it's a little off topic.
It's not off topic. It brings us to a great place. Are you serious?
Yeah.
There's a Mega Man movie coming out.
It was already in production with Fox, and now Disney owns Fox. And I'm hoping and praying that Disney takes it and gives it to their internal CGI team, animators team, and is like, here, make something good with this.
Instead of Pixar?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I want the writers that did Wreck-It Ralph to do it.
Love it.
I forget their names, like John Lasseter, I think, is one of them. Because he came from Pixar and moved over. That's not his name. But one of them came, they worked at Pixar, Disney acquired them, and they moved over to Disney's in-house CGI team.
Yeah.
And they wrote Wreck-It Ralph and a couple other Disney movies.
Oh, cool.
And I want them to work on it, because I like Pixar, but I don't trust them to do the video game movie justice. Trust Wreck-It Ralph.
I would want them to take that and subcontract it out to Studio Ghibli. Get Miyazaki in on that. A Miyazaki Mega Man thing, I think, could be really good.
By the way, he is the real Disney of Japan, not
Square Enix. Absolutely.
No, that was totally a joke that fell flat.
Yeah, but Ghibli, I mean, there was a Disney connection because Disney was the distributor for a couple Miyazaki films in the U.S.
For Mononoke,
like Howl's,
Kiki's Delivery Service.
Yeah.
Princess Mononoke,
yeah. Mononoke, I remember being the big one that was kind of a wide release because they got all the fancy voice actors.
Oh, yeah, didn't they pull in like Matt Damon and Liam Neeson?
It's like Patrick Stewart stuff, people like that. Yeah.
Good. Well, that's interesting, actually, because Disney went from making games on system to bringing games to their world and creating an amazing movie in Wreck-It Ralph. It's a great movie. Featuring Sonic the Hedgehog. Ooh, who has the Sonic rights?
So, I don't know if there's a Sonic movie rights.
There was one. I don't think it was 20th Century Fox. Meaning it wouldn't be Disney now. I think it was Sony.
That's a bummer. Because, what's his name? Tim Miller from Deadpool is attached to it.
Yeah, I saw that.
He's going to do that after Terminator.
You know what I'm excited for, but also wish it was different, was Universal Studios is opening a Nintendo World. And that's exciting. I want a Nintendo theme park. That's amazing. I wish it was Disney.
Yeah. Disney would do it ultimate justice.
Really good.
At least Miyamoto's in the meetings.
Yeah.
At least he's taking the meetings himself, and they are using his brain to kind of...
And I'm glad that the first one they're opening is in Japan. So, like, it's right there.
Let's warm up.
Yeah, let's warm up with Nintendo right here. They can come here, check it out, tell us what's up, and then make Orlando really good.
Wait. Or they'll buy... Disney will just buy Universal and Nintendo and complete their conquering
How would
world.
You feel about, since Universal has Nintendo Land, if Disney was to acquire the rights to Sonic the Hedgehog and make a theme park?
Well, see, the thing is...
I think the ship sailed.
Yeah, I don't think I could even get too riled about that because, right, it's like... The 16-bit wars were fought and Sonic lost. Right? Yeah. So, like, I'm not gonna be mad about that. There's no way I can be.
Hear me out. 32X Land. Featuring Knuckles and the Chaotix.
It's gotta be built on top of Genesis Land.
Yeah. And that's how you do it, kids. That's how you do it. Anything on the horizon for Disney?
I know a lot of things have come to a head. Like, they had Disney Interactive shut down.
Oh!
Disney Interactive made the very successful, what was it called? Disney Infinity. Disney Infinity 1, 2, and 3.0, which was their Toys to Life series that pulled all their universes together, which, you know, when we're talking about Kingdom Hearts, it kind of makes me wonder if Kingdom Hearts, Disney looked at that and said, what else could we do with that? So they made, you know, it was almost, Disney Infinity was like a platform.
Their version of Skylanders, right?
Yeah. But it was like, here's a world, and you can build things in this world, and you can use these characters.
They brought in the Marvel licenses, too, didn't they?
They did. And Star Wars.
And it was super hot for a while.
Didn't fail.
And did they just, because I remember when 2 came out, 2.0, it was a big deal because they got Marvel and Star Wars.
Yeah.
And then That was a couple years ago, and then at some point they had 3.0 and then failed. So I'm thinking maybe they overextended.
They were selling. The problem was the Toys to Life stuff started slowing down. And it wasn't dying, but it slowed down. And the second that the suits see slowing down, they dump it. So they canceled everything. I think they shuttered Disney Interactive. They're not making games anymore in-house.
Wow.
I guess they didn't want another Rock Band 3 on their hand, where it just kind of peters out.
Yeah.
To,
like,
dead.
Yeah, just kind of, like, oversaturated the market. Yeah. Because there were, Skylanders went crazy, Disney Infinity. There were hundreds of figures for Disney Infinity. Hundreds and hundreds.
I always thought that wasn't going to work just because we're moving to a more digital world.
Well, you know, that was what made it fun, though. Things. That,
right, exactly.
People, kids saw the toys, and then they went to toys, and I want to play with little Jack Sparrow in the game. Like, it was kind of a neat idea that this avatar, it's in the game, and now I'm that avatar. Like, it's a neat thing.
And Amiibo, I think, is working over there.
Yeah, and it's still working here, too. I mean, they're still kicking Amiibo.
Yeah, like, yeah, but, yeah.
Every game that comes out still has Amiibo.
Yeah, Amiibo's a little different animal, though, only because, like, the Toys of Life stuff was literally like, hey, kid, here's a toy. You could also play with it in your video game, but if you want, you can just play with it as a toy.
Yeah.
But then I think it was just, like I said, oversaturated. There were like 8 million characters. So if you wanted to get a specific one, it was hard to find in the store because you go there and they're like, I have one Iron Man and one Jack Sparrow and one Anakin. And it's like, well, what if I wanted, like, you know, a pod racer for some reason? It's like, nope. You got to look online or not get one because they're all sold out because we made 5.
Yeah, the Amiibos are more like figures for collectors that also happen to do things in
games.
They
trigger things in games. Whereas,
and it's a lot more measured, right? Yeah. Because like Nintendo's like, well, we'll put out a couple every so often and the nerds will buy them. Mm-hmm. And it's a very high margin item for us, so we'll just keep doing it.
Yeah, makes sense.
The Disney Infinity figures were literally like, you get Captain Jack Sparrow and it comes with not only the character, but you can also, they're also like little like mini games or like little, I guess, parts to build the world with.
So you might even call them playsets.
Yeah, the playsets. So like you would get like pirate ship themed thing you make stages out of because you got the Captain Jack Sparrow. So it's a little more involved than just like, oh, I have an Amiibo that gives me Luigi's clothes and Super Mario Odyssey.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. But if it would have given you Luigi plus special Luigi stages, that's a whole different animal.
Right.
But that's apples and oranges kind of.
Yeah, it's interesting though, like Disney moving forward, it's really in question like as to what will happen digitally for them. And I think right now they're going to use subcontractors again like they used to do with Capcom, with Virgin, for any of their future movie property games.
Wouldn't it be Sunsoft's Disney games? I keep thinking, I remember a Sunsoft logo before or something.
I don't remember, I mean, there's definitely Batman, there's definitely Arrow the Acrobat. That's the closest I got to Disney. But yeah, we'll see what the future holds because there will be more Star Wars games, which is a Disney property now. Mm-hmm. And
that's true. Thanks. Oh, do they own Battlefront?
Yeah, they help get the loot boxes out of there.
Well, EA.
I don't know if you know about the. Wait, no, but Disney pressured a lot.
Right.
Pressured EA a lot to get it. I don't know if you know about the loot box fiasco, but I'm sure anybody watching this. So they introduced loot boxes and they made it basically impossible to play as Darth Vader without buying a bunch of
Any of
the
famous characters you had to grind for 40 hours to get them. Or pay money.
Or pay a bunch of money and randomly try to get,
The problem was like you wouldn't pay like, $20 to get Darth Vader. It's like $20 to have the chance to get Darth Vader.
Oh, Lord.
That's why people are very upset about loot boxes
and then,
right now.
Basically, it was a whole big thing with EA and their stock dropped and everything. It was just really bad PR for them. And then Disney's like, okay, cut them out for now. Just release the game and so people shut up about loot boxes.
But yeah, Disney's making a huge push into just transmedia stuff. Like, all they're opening a Star Wars Land at Disney World. They're opening a Toy Story Land. They're going to be open Marvel rides in Disney World.
Really?
Yeah.
Aren't they still at Universal?
No. I mean, are they still there?
At Universal Islands of Adventure, there was a Spider-Man and there was an Incredible Hulk.
Spider-Man and Hulk, their rights are also super
scattered.
So they might also be maybe from the movie version.
Mm-hmm.
Because Universal has the rights to Hulk.
I wonder what they're going to do. With Marvel there.
Well, they're doing a Guardians of the Galaxy ride. They already have one in California.
Yeah, Disneyland.
They retrofitted Tower of Terror into a Guardians of the Galaxy attraction, which makes a lot of people angry. Because Tower of Terror is awesome. The whole Twilight.
The original one, yeah.
Yeah, it's great. And I hope they never change the one in Florida because it's amazing.
Like Supernatural, like.
It is 20 years old.
Stuff,
Well. I mean, the Twilight Zone is even older, right? When they brought that in, The Twilight
Zone. Right. Yeah, you're right.
The Twilight Zone Tower of Terror. Like, the Twilight Zone is 50, 60 years old.
There's enough land down there. They can build another park.
Yeah, that's right.
Florida. They already retrofit all
the problem with California is Disneyland has no room. So when they need a new attraction, they need to kick another one out.
Oh.
Yeah. It's in downtown Los Angeles. It kind of sucks. Disney World, though, has acres and acres to play with.
Ultimately, the cool thing about Disney and the cool thing about gaming and the other things that we like is that you can go deep on it. You can really nerd out about it. And I think that's what makes it so viable in our world of video games and whatnot is it's a place where we can do this and talk for, you know, an hour about all sorts of different things and get excited about different things. And there's still surprises and around the corner, and like they're the best storytellers in the world. Sometimes. I'm looking at you, Iron Man 2.
Oh, Iron Man 2 is terrible.
Hey, to be fair,
I think that was before.
I would think that was before.
Yeah, all right, that was before.
I love Disney. I'm happy that it's
but
here.
Thor 1 was under their watch.
Thor 1.
And also Thor the Dark Thor.
Just every Thor before Ragnarok was dour.
But this ain't about movies. This is about video games. We want to thank you so much for spending some time with us and, you know, talking games with us. This is what we love to do.
Sorry, one last thing.
I love that. Wait,
Steve's,
hang on.
Steve's
let's start,
final
let's
thought.
Let's start talking. Yeah. Let's start
always Steve's
this.
Final thought.
Steve's final thought.
Final. Steve's final fight.
Hagar.
Now that Disney owns Marvel and is making that lucrative, maybe they'll start making Marvel video games again. Because Marvel games dropped off the face of the earth after that disastrous Iron Man game a couple years ago. Like 10 years ago now. Yeah. I'll tell you about it off camera. It was the worst. And they basically stopped farming out any kind of licenses. And it was a Diablo-style MMO that they shut down recently because they were just like, we don't want to deal with any of this mess. But I'm hoping they will...
I loved Ultimate Alliance.
They will fish it out. Yeah, so... Yeah, I can just... But I'm just hoping that it means that they'll get... There'll be a new generation of Disney games based off of Marvel characters, Star Wars characters, and also Disney's classic characters, which we know and love.
It'd be good.
I would love to see a new Mickey game in the style of Super Mario Odyssey.
Oh my god, that'd be amazing. Nintendo needs to make it, is the problem.
And the song would make sense. Whereas it made no sense in Mario Odyssey. Why is Pauline a singer all of a sudden?
Why is she mayor all of a sudden?
She is just a girl that a monkey stole.
You don't know anything about her.
She was, and then she leveraged that into a political career and also
lounge singer career.
You know what? Let's go back and read the manual. I bet it says like she was a cocktail singer or something like that. Like Nintendo would do that. That's why I love Disney so much, because they're a lot like Nintendo.
Nintendo,
they reach way back.
They dug deep into. I was like, you know, here's the lore. Pauline, she's now the mayor of that city.
Right.
Bang.
And she pretends to not know Mario the first time.
Yeah, the first time she totally.
Well, he was just Red Jumpman back then, wasn't he?
His name was Mario. His name was Mario.
And he was. I thought he was her boyfriend.
It depends which printing of the arcade cabinet you're going by.
Oh my god. This is how deep it goes.
And that ends Steve's final fight.
I'm going to put Mike Hagar right next to you guys.
No, my guy was Guy.
You like Guy better? Yeah. Guy? Who was in Street
Guy
Fighter?
Guy.
Yeah.
Crossed over into Street Fighter too.
Yeah. Not Cody.
Don't know why.
Cody's terrible. And he's also in Street Fighter V again coming up, which
is a criminal.
No, now he's no longer a criminal. Now he has a three-piece suit on. And handcuffs.
He still has
handcuffs. He broke out of jail and he has a suit on.
By the way, so I was editing a bunch of these videos recently. And in our first episode, we said we would always recommend a game at the end, and we did that one time. So let's bring it back. Everybody recommend a Disney game. For me, it's the Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2. You can get them together, so it counts the way I'm saying it. There's a PS4 like collection version. Get it. It's beautiful.
I think
it's just a wonderful experience.
I think it also has like Birth by Sleep in it, or 33 and a third, or whatever. The one you're talking about with the weird subtitles.
All the weird subtitles.
Play Fighter 63 and a third.
Yeah, like they were for like 3DS and Game Boy Advance and stuff. Like those are included in the package. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that. And then my recommendation would be Aladdin for Sega Genesis. If you find an emulator version of it, play it, rage at it, but then enjoy it. I think you'll get a kick out of it.
And mine would be going retro, going back, Darkwing Duck on the NES. Really good, especially if you like Mega Man, classic Capcom, great music. Good times.
Thank you so much for watching Tubby Talk. I am Terry.
I'm Chris.
I'm Steve.
And this has been another wonderful journey into three nerdy guys' brains.
Gorsh!
We'll see you. See you next time. Don't forget to stop in and get some ice cream from these fine fellas. Peace!